Guys, what's the deal with stuff?
It's the Colin Gallagher Show podcast. Podcast. Oh, what a knob.
What the fuck is happening, people?
Oh, in the name of fuck. Just some dude talking shite in a room.
Sure, what else would you be doing on a fucking Tuesday?
What's happening, people? Welcome to the Colin Gallagher Show podcast. On today, which is not the day the podcast was supposed to be out, it's actually the 22nd of August. What? I feel like I've lost a day. So, it's Saturday. Sorry, guys. Podcast obviously supposed to be out on Tuesday. What I thought to myself was, here's what's going to happen. I was going to put the podcast out and was like, is there any point in me fucking shitting a podcast out before I go to Edinburgh here? A lot of you are probably going, yeah, you should have. And the reason you might say that is because the amount of fucking shit I got on Twitter because there was a late podcast. I'll read you them out if this would fucking load. Let's see now. Let's see my notifications. Here we go. You're slacking here, fella, with this week's podcast. What do you mean slacking? Slacking would mean like I was sitting in a room with this recorder and they're like, hey, Gallagher, you got that fucking podcast done? And I'm like, nah, I'm playing with a fucking slinky. What? The only reason I would never have a podcast out is because there aren't the means to record the podcast. You know? Another fella, what's up with the no podcast this week? You should charge for that shit. I should charge for that shit. The podcaster being late. Jamie, I told my kid to park her bike by the tree while I downloaded this week's podcast. And then he has a picture of, there's like a tree. There's like a bike that's obviously been tied to a tree in 1835. And a fucking, you know, like the tree's grown around it. You know? Fuck's sake, lads. I decided I'll go to fucking Edinburgh. By the way, this is probably echoey as well. The room that I record this in, aka the office, which we're now going to call it, here at the compound. You know, it's a bit more furnished now. You know, there's two office chairs. There is some fucking pillows lying about. And I'm just hoping that there isn't as much echo as there was last week. Because it annoys me. I listen to podcasts and they're echoey. Some of the biggest ones in the world. Ever listen to Bill Burr's podcast? Echoey as fuck. Let's move on, guys. The podcast is late because I thought I'll go to Edinburgh and I'll come back with something half interesting to say. Rather than just record one on Tuesday and be like, hey, well, I was out looking for more paint there for this new house. Boring as shit. Who gives a fuck? So, that's what happened. Went to Edinburgh. Before I move on, I'm going to tell you about some very interesting gigs, which I'm sure you've probably already heard about if you listened to the last recording, which was, by my estimation and calculations, 3.5 years ago, judging by the impatience of some of you fucking crazy bastards. Re-listen to some other shit. I don't know. I'm sorry. Here's some gigs. 28th of August, the Errigal Inn, which is on the Omer Road in Belfast. I think it was an old, one of the old school comedy spots back in the day. Hasn't done comedy in a while in it. And the next gig coming up is Colin Murphy headlining, me doing support, and it's only a tenner. Which is cheap to see him by himself. But not only that, you get the big man coming on first, talking all sorts of shit. And then straight after that, the 2nd of September, Lavery's Comedy Club. We have the second ever General Banter live podcast. Isn't that exciting? And as far as I remember, doing support that night is a guy called Ray Bradshaw, which I forgot that I organised with Chrissy Bowes, the the creator. Yeah, basically the guy that runs Daly's Comedy Club with Connor Keyes. Class. That's it. That's me plugging gigs over. There's also one that I'm doing with Shane Todd and Sean Hegarty. And it's going to be in Limavady, I believe. So if you're in that area, check that out. I believe it's in a leisure centre, which I don't know where that fucking got pulled out of. But tell your friends, it might be decent. That's a decent lineup. You know? Let's party. Proving that, you know, if you want to, you can sort of do a gig anywhere. Oh, wait. Who's this? Oh my god. Speaking of Chrissy Bowes from Oma, from Daly's there. Oh, he just put up like a little album where he's with a load of famous people. Oh, well, three, whatever. Well, none, technically. You wouldn't know any of them, but in the comedy world, all good. Right, boom! Let's inject some shit into this. So we went to the Edinburgh Fringe the other day, which was only for 2 days, and we're thinking, yeah, sure, it's only 2 days, we'll play through it. Not knowing that maybe the worst thing you could do, you know, is go for a shorter time. What you want to do is you really want to go for like 4 or 5 days where you can settle in, acclimate, if that's the word, you know. Whatever, we probably should organise somewhere to stay. We're staying with Mickey Bartlett and Terry McHugh and Matthew Collins in a lovely little flat. But what happened was, you obviously get the very early flight. So we went up, stayed at my dad's house. Woke up early as fuck, like fucking 4:30 or something like that. Go to the plane. Get the plane. By the way, see the next. Why the fuck would you give a child a suitcase? You know what I mean? What's it got in that bag that you can roll up and fit in a fucking like lunchbox and put into your fucking your own case? And they're like, "Do you want to have some wee responsibilities, do you there, James? Here's a wee Spider-Man fucking case for you to drag along, and then fucking I'll kick it. You'll kick it over, it'll fall, you'll have to stop, and even though everyone's walking in this sort of flow. First of all, pick up the kid too. The kid can barely fucking walk by himself. Speed here, guys, let's get it through. Unbelievable. Anyway, aside from that fucking mental breakdown, we get the plane, which, and by the way, also no need for the airport to be 38 degrees. Just saying. Do you know what? I don't fly that much, but could you imagine what my stand-up set would be like if I flew a lot? Like if I was like a working comedian? You know, flying all over the place. How much I'd be giving off about fucking airports. You know what I mean? Go to Edinburgh once. Sound like Seinfeld. What's the deal with fucking... That is a terrible Seinfeld. I don't know. Anyway, we get the fucking plane over. We get to Edinburgh. It's early as shit. We wake Mickey up. Mick, come meet us. We meet up with Mickey. Get something to eat. Where did we eat? I can't even fucking remember. So the first day we're like, right, we're not really sure what to do. So for the first wee while we're like, right, we'll follow Mickey. Take us to a few things. Until we sort of get a look at who else is playing. So we're like, alright, let's do that. Went to... a show with Mickey called Comedy Death, which is pretty interesting. It's like a load of comedians get up and they just talk about their worst gig ever. Although it was a bit awkward whenever one guy went up and said that he did a gig for a company, like a corporate, where he was doing a gig to people who'd just been made redundant, basically. Now, as he was on, the guy that was on third probably wasn't in the building yet, so he arrives, goes up, starts talking. Oh, I had a really horrible gig once, you know, started doing this gig and asked this guy what he did, and then turns out they just did, you know, like more or less the same thing. You know, totally the same fucking story. But anyway, yeah, so then we went to that, and then we went to Mickey did a compilation show, and this is the weird thing about the Fringe. You could be standing in the street and there's 400,000 people, and then you go to a certain gig and you're like, this is a free show with decent comedians and there's 9 people here. You know, just people just don't really take a risk. And it's tough because when you're at the Fringe and you have certain things that you want to go to, you have certain things you want to go to, and sometimes you're like, if someone's like, do you want to go to this show? You're like, get the fuck out of my face, will you? Wise up. So then we did that, we fucked about for a while, went back to Mickey's flat where we sort of almost had like, I say nap, it wasn't a nap, we were so knackered. We kind of sat about and then basically passed out for a second. Mickey went for a wee bit of a sleep, woke up, went to sort of clamber out of this room, the living room, put my hand on the radiator and it was absolutely boiling. Now, Edinburgh was like fucking Tenerife there for a minute. It was roasting. And I was then like, who the fuck put the radiator on? So other than generally feeling like a pile of shit. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention we met Chrissy Butters from Daly's Comedy Club. So managed to cram in a few pints. Had this horrendous like fucked up sleep. Went to see Mickey's show for a bit. I might have got the order of proceedings wrong here. Went to see his show, left because we're speaking to Chris Kent, who's going to be playing in Laverys at the end of October. He's just been on fucking Russell Hard's Comedy Central show, doing well for himself. We leave Mickey's halfway through. No disrespect, Mickey. I've been gigging with you for about 5 years. I've seen it. No offence. So we decided to leave to go to Chris Kent because I'd emailed him earlier in the day. I was like, mate, gonna come to your show, and he's like, I'll put you on the door, and I was like, brilliant, that's even better. So then he emails back going, listen, I text the box office, they obviously didn't get the text, so the show's now sold out. And we're back from a short break there. There was a break there of about 50 minutes and I can't really remember what the fuck I was talking about before I left. Did I mention that we went to see Chris Kent? Yeah, and he was sold out. Which I'm very happy for Chris, but, you know, I was massively inconvenienced. Hashtag joking. So we went to see Chris Kent, didn't happen, and we never got back to see him the full rest of the visit. But fair play to Chris for selling out. So if you're on the Fringe, go fucking see him, because I didn't get to. What happened the rest of that night? Some interesting stuff. We went to a thing called Setlist, which if you're a comedy fan, you should check out. You should click or search Setlist on YouTube and see what it is. It's basically comedians go up and they hit a button and there's like a suggestion of a phrase, like usually crazy shit like fucking laptop fucking cheesecake, right? And then the comedian has to basically make up comedy around that. And Mickey was doing that too, but also on was like Jim Owen, Mark Nelson, the Scottish comedian, who was fucking hilarious. A couple of other people. Would love to try and do something like that at Laverys for the crack. If we didn't get sued by Setlist. Although I'm sure there's a way around it where you can do something similar without calling it Setlist, you know? So we went to that. It was very fucking, very cool. And by this stage, I was ramping up my second drunkenness. You know, I'd already been to sleep, slept off the first load, ate a fucking KFC, walked home, thought, did that KFC really hit the spot? Let's buy a pizza. Bought a pizza, walked home. Mickey had some, Maureen had some. I had about one bit. After being all like, oh, mate, that KFC didn't even fucking touch me, mate. Didn't even fucking touch me. Anyway. So went to that, and then we went to Leighton Live. which was just absolutely fucking terrifying. I'll be honest, I'm a big comedy fan. I'm actually a fan of sort of slightly rowdier crowds. However, you go to that late in live shit and you're like, I do not envy any of these people. It was an absolute fucking bear pit. What do you expect when a gig starts at, you know, fucking 1 a.m? It's going to be absolute mayhem. But I've been to it before where it was great. But there's something about that place, or there was something about that night where it was just, it was just fucking insane. People getting heckled. But then, I say that, anyone that was half decent wasn't really getting heckled. Mickey didn't get heckled. The MC didn't get heckled. There was this real posh guy come on who had a real tight set, but it was just all about him being posh. And you're like, I've seen it. I've seen it before, mate. And then some other dude come on, and he was like 19, apparently. And, you know, this is the mistake they make with comedy. They see someone doing a bit of comedy, and they're like, oh, he probably has a few wee vines that are funny. And he does a wee bit of alternative comedy. And he's done a few gigs. And he's good looking. And he's cool. And he's wearing glasses. And he's, you know, nerdy but cool and whatever. And they go, wouldn't he be great to mix up this set? And they put him on at fucking Late and Live. And the guy comes out and, with a notebook and sets it down and goes, yeah, I was just, I was reading in the paper about IKEA. And you're like, mate, you don't open with IKEA material. You know, you have to come out a bit, you know, something that is like a slight little, and he starts reading this quote out about IKEA that he'd read in the paper, like, you know, people need to stop playing hide and seek. And it was, you know, one of those, like, what is the deal with that? Who's playing hide and seek in IKEA? I mean, what even is that? Is that a thing? What even is that? And everyone in the crowd was just like, oh no. And they just, he lost it instantly. And he'd obviously never been fucking heckled. He's clearly one of these guys just done little cafe gigs forever.
Isn't it weird how, like, you, something to do with Facebook, and you're tagging people in certain places, and your mates find out.
And you're like, oh, shut the fuck up. Shut up. That is so fucking, your comedy is like weak, lukewarm tea. That's what it feels like when it's 2 a.m. and we should all be having like octuple whiskies. Anyway, let's move on. It was, and I tell you what, that was one of those days where like you fucking, you know, you just eat like a fucking animal and then drink twice in one day and then, I forgot to tell you this. After getting the fucking KFC, this was like 5 or 6, thinking, oh, that didn't really hit the spot. Buying a pizza, walking home, didn't eat the pizza. Had like one bit of it. Left the pizza, went out drinking for the second time. And then got a kebab on the way home, which had the hottest fucking chili sauce I've ever witnessed in my life. And oh God, did I pay for it the next day. I text Mickey from the toilet saying, I think I've just melted my prostate. It was brutal. And then just, you know, you just walk around and you're like, I am not in great shape today. He's like, my body is completely filled. My body was like just a bin bag. You know, when you're in your house and you just keep shoving stuff in the bin. You just keep shoving it in. Until you can take the bag out of the bin and it's completely rock solid. That was my body. Only with beer and sort of kebab meat. Which is mainly tapeworms anyway. And like the bin, all the fluid and shit runs to the bottom. Which is a beautiful metaphor for the type of shits I was taking. Which can only be described as battery acid. Brown battery acid. Not great, guys. Not in great condition. So anyway, the second day we went to see Tony Law, which was actually brilliant. Did I say brilliant? I meant weird. I think he's at a stage in his career where it's more entertaining for him to basically go on stage and make shit up than it is for him to actually have stuff prepared and sort of completely kill the gig. So he goes on and essentially riffs the whole fucking time. Which, if you're a Tony Law fan, you're on board with it. You're like, this is great. He's so wacky. You know, it is definitely a talent to be able to talk for that long with no fucking material. But then there is part of you that's kind of like, come on now, Tone. Maybe throw in a bit of material once in a while here. He did, however, put on... Sorry, I just read something, threw me completely off there. Basically, this podcast is going to be a mess. Any podcast I do that's broken up into two is going to be fucked up. I should probably shut that computer, should I? Instead of fucking looking at it the whole time. Anyway, but the coolest moment of the Fringe happened whenever I went for a piss before Tony Law and all the pissers were taken up and I went in the cubicle. Didn't lock it, because you don't lock it when you're pissing. You know? You lock a door if you're pissing in a cubicle. People are like, what's he hiding? His dick? You have to be all like, there's my dick, guys. Just fucking pissing in public, mate. Door hits me in the back as if someone was trying to get in. And I was, oh, sorry. And I went, oh, fuck, is that Tony Law? And I walked outside and he's pissing. He goes, I'm probably the last person that you... And that's kind of the way he talks. Probably the last person you want trying to get into the loo behind you or something. I was like, fucking right. And then I said, yeah, I nearly lost my fucking boner. And he's like, And then he finished pissing and I was washing my hands. And he goes, well, I suppose I'm going to have to wash my hands this time. And I went, Tony, you're a funny cunt, aren't you? You big mad bastard. And then we seen a show and it was great. And then the rest of the day, what else did we do? We went to see Jellybean Martinez, who is actually a guy called Matthew Ellis. Scottish comedian who does this fucking insane character. If I had to describe it, it's kind of something like it had bits of like Celebrity Juice elements to it. It was basically him. It's called Mr. Saturday Night TV or something, and he basically played all these games with the crowd and had different little characters and stuff like that, and it was very funny. His dick touched my arm. Cool. That's what happens when you sit at the end of the row and he's running around in fucking pants. And he leaned over and I was like, that's warm dick and balls on my shoulder. You know? Not mad at it, but odd. You know, mid-fringe, you're like, can I guarantee that you've showered a lot? Because you ran past in like a cape earlier and it didn't, not a cape, but like some sort of thing. And I was like, that didn't smell good. So can't guarantee the cleanliness of your balls if you're going to set them on my shoulder there. Jellybean Martinez. And then we went to see, this is basically me just talking various shit. Went to see, Tom Stayed at Night. Legendary Tom Stade, he's been on everything. Check him out. I mean, if you don't know who Tom Stade and Tony Law are, definitely kill yourself. Super funny, folks. He was hilarious. Basically a compilation of stories about TV shows that he can't watch around his kids that he has to record and watch late at night. And it's all stuff like Cash in the Attic and whatever. And it was all that. Fun. Culminating in a rape joke. And I'm going to ruin it for you, but he's basically like, you know, a woman's no means no. And he goes, a man's yes means, a man's no is a yes or a maybe. And then he's like, when my wife starts fucking riding my fat rod. And I'm like, I'm being raped. Squirt. And that was the joke. And that was it. And then we had fucking, went back to the flat, talked shit, had about 2 hours sleep, and then had to get the flight back here. So you're talking, and I didn't think about it the whole time. I just thought, we're tired, whatever. Then Maureen added it up, and she's like, yeah, we've literally had 7 hours sleep since Tuesday. Like, we got back to the house here, and all we've been eating was shit. You take it for granted, guys, just to be able to go and have a lovely wee cup of tea and a bit of scrambled egg. You know, sat in our house, like, that is lovely. And then slept. Very rarely in your life are you completely fucking knackered. You know, everyone's a bit lazy the whole time. I do it, but you're like, I feel, what the fuck is this? Where you're like, oh, I really feel like I could do a wee nap or something. What you really need is just fucking slap her in the head. Like, just fucking get up, you lazy shit. Very rarely in your life are you completely fucking wasted. Unless you're like a nurse or something. Which is ridiculous anyway. Should a nurse be working fucking 12, 14 hours? No. You should be doing work like the way a fucking air traffic controller does work. We work for about 2 hours and they're like, do you want to go for a wee fucking sleep, pet? You've worked very hard. You've earned it. Go for it. Instead, they're like, nah, here's more people than you can really even fathom. Could be injured at one stage. And they want you to deal with that shit all day in a caring manner, even though they're giving you shit. Sticking up for the nurses there, Colin. Do you know any? None. But fuck it. Yeah, we came home and just fucking... Just completely dead for 6 hours. You know, you wake up and you look at the clock and you go, really? You know, sometimes you go, oh shit, I've slept in a bit. This, I looked at it and I was like, hold on a minute, is that correct? And I was like, check the other clock. Like, what the fuck? Literally slept from about 10 to like 4 without flinching. Without moving at all. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So, what else is going on in the world of stuff? Weird vibe at the Fringe. Like, I did the Fringe once. And I think I just got a good year. I honestly think I just got a good year. Same with Glastonbury. First time I ever went to Glastonbury, I went, I think we lucked out here. You know, go in, get a great spot. It didn't rain the whole time. Big tent. You know, everything ran smoothly. It rained once, dried up within about half an hour. Everything went well. Everything was great. I think the year we went to the Fringe, you know, it all sort of fell into place. The warm-up shows were great, which I then tried to sort of replicate the next year. All those gigs were fucking terrible. Thanks to anyone that came out, but Jesus Christ, was it weird. The year before, it was like, yes, an Edinburgh preview show. Everyone was loving it. Sold out the Black Box 2 fucking Sundays in a row, which was impressive then. Now every cunt's doing it. Shane can do it on fucking 10 minutes notice. Sean sold it out twice there with the Rodney character thing. But everything went fucking great that year. It just all sort of fell into place. Went to the Fringe in a venue with the Underbelly. Tickets were a tenner. Was able to do a lot of promotion online. You know, in my head I was thinking, you should be able to pack this out every day. Now, if you ask anyone else, you know, I would go up and be like, oh, fuck, how many are in today? And the guy's like, yeah, there's 18 tickets sold. And you're like, oh, fuck. So it holds 60 seats. There's plenty of people who would be like, fucking right, had 18 people in today. Now, the guy would tell me there was 18 tickets sold. I would then set up, do whatever. And then it actually turned out there was maybe like 12 more people paid in. And you end up with 30 people. But it's like a Tuesday where it's fucking raining. So you're like, great, this is great stuff. So in my head I was thinking, oh, it's not that great. We fucking sold out like 12 nights. You know, that's nearly half of the nights were like sold out. You know, just seeing other shows and going to different shows during the day, free shows and stuff. You're like, fuck me. It would be tough if every single day was just you were playing to like fucking 10 people if you were lucky. You know, I've heard of people just turning up to their show and there's like 2 people there to see it. And you're like, right, fuck it. We'll just not do it. Let's have a pint. So it's tough as shit. But I think just walking around it this year, like there was an area at the Underbelly where I had my gig, where there was this big fuck, the big purple cow, and there was a big giant beer garden full of stuff and things going on. And that whole area now is just boarded up this year. And you're like, it feels like they've ripped the fucking heart right out of that venue. Very strange. And you have to walk around the back of it to get to the Gilded Balloon. And I don't know, it just didn't seem like there was as many people around and stuff like that. It was weird. It just felt like a weird year. Even though we did see some cool shit, like, but... anyway, all good. I had no... Fuck off! I had no fucking urge to do it again, like... Even when I was there, I was offered a few gigs. Niamh Maren offered me a gig, which I was going to do, but we were only there for like 2 days and we had tickets bought for Tom Stade and all. And I had to email her back and be like, listen, sorry, I can't do it. You know? I'd rather go see Tom Stade than go do 10 minutes of comedy. Sorry for the inconvenience, but there you go. Wait. So, that was the Fringe in a fucking nutshell anyway. I know you're sitting there going, that definitely wasn't worth us waiting 2 extra days for. Mate, you want to see the state of the fucking podcast you would have got before the Fringe? With me literally having fucking nothing to do. Blimey, Grace Jones, as if you've never seen her before. This will teach me for going on the Mirror's fucking website here. Grace Jones flashes boobs in bizarre thing as you've never seen her before. I'm sure she's had her tits out before. Jesus Christ, love. She's a strange looking character. And she's got weird tits. As you would if you were a 7-year-old. What else have we been up to? Ordered this book the other day, right? By the way, here's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to design a podcast t-shirt, and I was going to get them printed cheaply, but still good quality, as opposed to last time with the Godzilla t-shirts, where I was like, by the way, that site's up and running again if anyone wants one of them fucking t-shirts. But I paid for like the best quality shit I could get my hands on. And I've had shit quality t-shirts. And I've had very good quality t-shirts. And I've just come to the realisation of... Is there really... that much of a fucking difference? Because I remember Rick Crullers... back in the Audio Picnic days... got some Audio Picnic t-shirts done. And I'm pretty sure they were done cheaply. And I still have one. And that was fucking 6 years ago or something. Fair enough, the armpits have rotted clean out of it. But... whatever... So I've been trying to design that. What I actually might do is put up a couple of designs and be like, guys, which ones do you like best? I think that might make more sense. Anyway, ordered this book, and if anyone knows me, you'll know that I don't fucking... I was joking around. Literally the last book I read was probably like Fantastic Mr. Fox when I was about 8. And I'm not bragging. I'm not being like, guys, got through my whole life without reading. I can't do it. Especially made up shit. Stories. I'm not reading stories. I'm not a child that needs to go to sleep. Give me some fucking real shit. You know? So I bought this book called The War of Art, which a lot of people have mentioned on various things. Various other podcasts I listen to. I've just heard people mention the book a lot. And I was like, right, I'm going to buy it. It's called The War of Art, Break Through the Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles, right? What the book should be called is The War of Art. This is exactly how Colin Geddes avoids doing any fucking work. It's unbelievable. It's basically like... I've only read about fucking 30 pages. But the whole fucking first bit is about resistance. It's like a self-help book. But like a more realistic one from a guy who actually is a writer. Rather than some fucking dickhead who is just a motivational speaker. And you're like, but what do? I motivate people. Yeah, but what did you do before that? Nothing. I just decided I was going to go into the motivation business. But this has come from an actual guy who fucking is a writer. And I was just reading it going, this is like, was there someone like watching me fucking avoid doing any work? And they're basically, I don't know, the whole fucking book is basically like, you know, there's a sort of resistance that comes around anytime you have to do something that's going to be, you know, like you're going to do something creative, you're going to do something to like better yourself as a person, like fitness, or you're going to get fit, or you're going to start eating better, or you're going to do anything. And it's all like, there's always something that stands in the way. And it's this sort of like, anything that doesn't give you like instant gratification, anything that requires you to sort of dig in a bit, do a bit of work, but the outcome's going to be great. There's always this fucking thing standing in the way. And I'm exactly like that. I could sit all day going like, yeah, fucking, people keep asking me why I don't make videos a lot. And I'm like, well, it's filming for BBC and da da da. I do make videos all the time, man. And I'm like, I don't. You're lucky if you get one every fucking 2 months. You know what I'm saying? So stuff like that, you know, you really need to crack onto it. Some marvellous quotes. Something said like, people never say, I'm never going to write this book. They always say, oh, I'll start writing that book tomorrow. And the guy goes, yeah, but it's more or less the same thing. If you're going to start it, start it. And then he was talking about, this is boring as shit, isn't it? This is boring as shit. I heard it, like he was saying, like, this is what he does every day. He turns up, goes to his office where he's got like his lucky hoodie and his lucky fucking toys in the desk and all. And he just starts writing, and he writes for about 4 hours and then goes home. And it was like, was it good? Was it good work? And he goes, I don't know, but that's not, the writing's not the work. The work is like getting there and sitting down and doing it. And you're like, brilliant. That's happened to me fucking a million times. Where I film something and I go, oh fuck, I have to edit this shit now. I can't be arsed. And I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. And it just sits there. And then I'm like, right, I'll do it tomorrow. And then I'll be like, right, I really have to do that. And then as soon as I sit down to do it, I'm like, this is class. I love editing. Bang, bang, bang. And then you end up with something quite cool at the end. And you're like, oh, that was great. Don't know why I was putting it off so fucking long. And what is that? I'm sure everyone experiences it to a certain extent. You're like, oh, fuck, I need to do that. I need to, like, I don't know, like, oh, I need to paint that room or something. Oh, I'll do it next week. Oh, fuck, I'll do it, whatever. And then eventually, someone's like, will you paint that fucking room? And then you paint it and you go, I should have done that ages ago. Same thing happened with me. I was editing on a different computer, editing some stupid shit. And I got a new computer that had Final Cut 10. And I was like, I don't even know how to fucking use that Final Cut. So I was using some other shit on a different computer, trying to edit videos with two computers. I had two fucking computers. I was like, how the fuck does this work? And then eventually one day I was like, right, I'm going to have a video here that doesn't have a deadline or any pressure to it. I'm just going to fuck about. And then I used Final Cut 10 for a minute and I was like, why the fuck did I not start using this months ago? This is perfect. This is great for editing. There's probably editors out there going, you're talking shit, mate. Final Cut 7 is the dog's tits. But anyway, if you're looking something to read that is going to give you a bit of a fucking boot up the hole, it's pretty good. Because some of the stuff in it, I was just like, oh my god, that literally sounds like someone's asked girlfriend Maureen to write a fucking book about me. Someone that's, you know, like, spends a lot of time with you. Just observing how much of a dickhead you are. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Read another thing. I'll read you a quote here. Colin reads books. Don't expect this to be a regular feature because this might be the last book I read. These are the books I've read in my lifetime. Probably like Fantastic Mr. Fox. Then there was a long gap. Then I think I got an A in fucking GCSE English. And whatever, I think they were reading like Lord of the Flies or something. Did I fucking read it? Did I fuck, mate? Watch the film. Anyway, then there was a gap of a lot of years. And then I think I read Got Fight by Forrest Griffin. A fighter who wrote a fucking book, which was quite funny. Then nothing, probably until I got this book here. So, that's embarrassing. But here's a wee message for you guys. Read this. Often couples or close friends, even entire families, will enter into compacts whereby each individual pledges, unconsciously, to remain mired in the same slough, is that a word? In which she and all her cronies have become so comfortable. There you go, guys. Are you hanging around with a bunch of fuckwits? I'm gonna say this, right? I'm gonna out some people. When I was staying in Edinburgh there, And I'm sure it's a tough year. Staying in Edinburgh with Mickey. I say staying. We spent about 4 hours in total in the place. Staying with Mickey, Terry and Matt Collins. And it was obviously a tough year. And they all come back. But it's almost like they bonded over the fact that their shows were tough and the numbers were low. So it was all like, ah, it was fucking shite and a bollocks and another fucking whatever. And you're like sort of like, well, what if someone has a good gig one day? Is someone going to come in and be like, guys, fucking nailed it? Not really. It seems like you fit in better if you just come back and went, nah, same old shit. Anyway. Tough job, that Fringe. Tough as shit. Trying to get people into the same fucking venue every day. But anyway, buy that book. I bought it for fucking £7. I'm going to turn into one of them cunts. Next week I'm going to read The Secret and be like, guys, do you know that if you shoot for the moon, you'll end up in the stars or fucking some shit? All you have to do is visualize what you want to happen and it's pretty much going to happen. And then I would be afraid to tell people what I visualize in my head sometimes. Just visualize what you want to happen. And you're like, well, I was in Tesco's the other day and I visualized that I just beat a straight. Like in the airport the other day when the kid's pulling the fucking the case behind it. Was I visualizing that I just booted the case away? Which may or may not have taken the kid with it. Did I imagine that? Yes. Anyhow, I just clicked on something in the background here. What is it? Jeremy Kyle defends Daniela Westbrook after she cleans pub. A cautionary tale for any rising celeb. The Jeremy Kyle show host says he salutes her after all she's been through and other celebrities could easily end up just like her. He's voiced his support for Daniela Westbrook after she was pictured cleaning a pub in North London. The star was seen scrubbing floors just days after it was reported she had lost out on a place in Celebrity Big Brother after doctors deemed her unfit. That's why I should read more books, to handle the stress of being in the house. And it was just the latest in a long line of blows for the actress, who also revealed she had been left homeless at the end of this year. After seeing the pictures of Danielle, who once had it all, Jeremy Kyle has voiced his support. He said, she's spoken to me about her highs and lows and drugs and demons and have ravaged her. She has made plenty of mistakes, but is not blaming anyone else. Do you know why I probably can't read this? Because I've had to turn the fucking brightness down on the computer and I can barely see the fucking thing because it's about to run out of battery. And I'd be fucked if I had to go and get that charger that's in the next room. She's not feeling sorry for herself. Tell you what, that would be a fucking pain in the cock if you were cleaning pubs and you thought you were going to go on Celebrity Big Brother, which is exactly what it's for. See that whole, was there like a quote from fucking Van Morrison or something? He goes, fame is an illusion. And he's probably fucking right. But you got this woman, you got her there who's like, see when you go into these fucking, well, is that showbiz? See if you wanted to be like an actor or a fucking comedian or a musician or whatever, it's dependent on people knowing who you are. You really have to fucking, like, you have to be just consistent as fuck and have a great fucking work ethic. Otherwise, it all just slips away. Now, I haven't had much experience with cocaine, but I'm sure it's a fucking bastard. That's a burp too, but you get these people who, like, and it's going to happen nowadays where, you know, look at fucking Frostbit Boy or something. You're going to be Frostbit Boy forever because the internet sort of made you famous. And then you get other things like, you know, it's like if your fucking dream is to be a musician and you have a hot first album and it does okay and then you take 2 or 3 years off, I'm just going to go have a baby and blah blah and then come back. People are going to give way less fucks about it. You know, where's Adele? Did she have a baby or something? Well, she's alright, because she maybe fucking nailed it with like one or two albums that were like, are going to be sung forever on fucking talent shows. covered in bad pubs.
Yes, welcome to Saturday night here at fucking McIlvany's or something here in some shithole. And here's fucking Tina singing Someone Like You.
In a minute, baby, someone like me.
Desi, why'd you leave me?
Covered forever, don't worry about it. Show the bad off iTunes. There's another 99p, Adele. Enjoy it. I'll get you a fucking one of them cheeseburgers at McDonald's. See, being judged on her looks by me. Unbelievable. You can't do that. I remember seeing Kate Nash in something and you're like, her album done alright. And then there was a gap in her career and she tried to come back and everyone was like, fuck off, Kate. You know what I mean? You were just about young enough to pull off the cute sort of, I've got a boyfriend and plinkety bling bling. You know, you come back later on, you're 30 as fuck. Trying to hang in there with all these fucking other girls that are whipping their tits out and singing. And everyone's just like, do you know what? Now that I see it, they're a bit older. It's fucking weird. It's weird, Kate. I won't lie to you. She should have taken all the money she made and just put it in something else. You kind of have to. Anything. Open a bar. Fucking. Don't know. It's you can never have one thing. Especially if you're like some sort of artist. Which is why a lot of people have to fucking. You know, you can't really. You know, you're like, oh, what's this guy doing a fucking ad for that for? And you're like, because it's a fragile business and someone offered him £500,000. What are you going to do? Like, no, I'm alright, mate. You know, it might all go tits up, like Isle Westbrook here. I'll fucking half a nostril. And, you know, all of a sudden, she's sitting there cleaning the pub going, fuck, why didn't I do that ad for, like, fucking Müller Rice or something? Vicks nasal inhalers.
Do you have a blocked nose? Just do cocaine for fucking 7 years. I've got no nose, mate.
Awful, drugs are terrible. But you have to have something else. And see when it's like, if you're one of those people where it's like, all I want to do is just be famous. Being famous is only the fucking start. Who was it? I read some quote from like Shaquille O'Neal. He's like, getting rich is fucking easy. It's keeping your money is the fucking hard part. Fucking hell. And then I read something else. It's like, yeah, Kylie Jenner's sex tape could potentially be more popular than Kim Kardashian's one. And you're like, I cannot believe that is like, that's just a legit career move now. Oh, well, now that you've turned 18, of course you're going to do a sex tape because it's the only reason people are going to fucking pay any attention to you. What else are you going to do? Really? You know? Are you going to write a book? I doubt it. You fuckwit. You're the shittest of them all. Why don't you do a sex tape? Why don't they get some fucking guy like... Is that not what that girl... There was like a girl that did like American or Teen Moms or something. She made a sex tape, but it was with like a proper porn star. And he just ripped the shit clean out of her. You know? Maybe that's what they should do. But imagine that. That's what's going to happen now. It used to be like leaked fucking sex tapes. Now it's going to be like shot on a phone. Now it's going to be like, coming this summer, literally, is some dude on Kylie Jenner's fucking face. Not her original face. The one she has now, made out of mainly pig fat and Haribo. And who's going to pay for it? Nobody. How does it make money? Advertising. It's like YouTube. Coming this summer, some dude on Kylie Jenner's fake titties. Are you going to pay for it? No. So it's going to be sponsored by fucking Hellman's Mayonnaise. Couldn't think of anything else that's jizz-like. But anyway. Unreal. Here's what I'd like to know. All these Kardashians with their big arses. Oh, it's from doing squats and we naturally have big arses.
How come your legs didn't get bigger? Just a question. Surely if you did loads of squats, your legs would get big. These bitches are doing fucking squats and it's just their arse gets fat. What's the deal with stuff? I'm not a personal trainer, but I can imagine that it has a lot to do with having some shit injected up your hip. Would I be right? Guys, any fucking personal trainers out there with a sweet shit box on them wanna fill me in on the details? Oh god. The Kardashians, eh? Unreal. Well, there's a rare picture of her smiling there. Doesn't it look like a different person? Unbelievable. Now my computer's frozen. Fuck off. Fuck off, mate. Anyway, what can you do? I heard some story the other week. Are we still on news here? This is bullshit. I need to fucking... Oh, stop freezing, computer. So, I've seen some... Oh, Jesus Christ. I've seen some story where there was like a guy... Now, this is going to let you into... Exactly the type of person I am, right? You've probably seen it yourself. There was a video where a guy, he was like a vlogger. I think I talked about this briefly, but like, it goes to show, like, see when people start doing this vlogging stuff and people start using Periscope and doing Vines and then they get as addicted to that shit as they do, like, just checking their Facebook. There's nothing that's private anymore, right? So this guy, what's his name? Sam Raider or something, right? I can't watch those vlogs. Because unless you're someone interesting and you're actually famous for a reason, I can't watch. Like, Maureen watches these ones and it's just so... And you're like, what is the fucking... What's going on here? There's some girl going, hello, we're here at Tesco's, me and my baby. And look at us, we're buying fucking... Today's buying vegetables day, isn't it, little baby? Here we are. Look, we're buying carrots. Play a bit of fucking Vampire Weekend over a montage of them walking down the street. We just had a lovely day shopping. We'd like to thank these cunts for giving us free stuff for no reason whatsoever. And we'll be back tomorrow with more shit. Anyway, so this guy put a fuck... Right, let me watch this video here because I haven't seen it. 7 minutes. Fuck off. Basically, I believe that he put... Like, he basically dumped a load on his wife. Then, a couple of weeks later, put a pregnancy test down the bog or something. She pishes on it. And then he announces to her that she's pregnant. And everyone's like, oh my god, isn't that so cute? Then someone told me that...
Hey, guys.
Hold on.
I'm trying to hide from Mia. Everybody's up early. I just got home from work. I was hoping everybody would be sleeping because I got some big plans this morning. So I've had this dream about announcing Mia's coming around. I'm going to be doing the announcement.
Oh, my God. So he puts
it's a pretty clear sample.
He puts the thing in the bog... Hold on, he's gonna tell her she's pregnant. This is gonna be a fucking cringe party here. What the fuck, hold on.
What are you doing to me?
Hold on.
Mommy, what are you doing?
Just filming your
pony.
Oh, you can't have
one. Hold on.
Baloney.
He's just full of it. He's full of baloney, you guys. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't.
No.
You're so cute.
We're not going to announce anything like this. We don't even know.
You don't?
Oh, I haven't even taken a pregnancy test and I still really feel like I'm going to start my period.
Do you ever check one?
I haven't taken
two kids in the background. She's all like, hey, well, you dumped a load at me and I feel like I'm going to have my period.
Oh, my gosh.
So he runs back in the bog to get the pregnancy test.
We did take one, honey. Can you take something out of my top pocket right there?
It's a big card covering piss.
Oh my god.
Pull it out.
Oh gosh, you are so funny. Oh, you brought a positive one home. You're such a dork.
What? What?
What? You're hilarious.
No. It's true.
You're pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You guys, he is ridiculous.
You're pregnant, Daddy?
No. Samuel.
Daddy, only mommies get pregnant.
Oh my god. Guys, this is a joke. Those of you out there are serious right now?
Oh, fuck.
What did you do? Did you get a dropper out of the toilet?
Oh, he's putting in some piano music. Oh, fuck. No. I'm sorry for the gap in this podcast. So, I don't know how many weeks apparently she was pregnant, but he's went in, put the thing in the pisser, went in and joked around, filming himself, you know, and she's like, but when you... Just having the full open bucking conversation in front of their two kids. But you jizzed in me, like, it couldn't be, I really feel like I'm going to get my period. So what are you talking, like, from launching of load to thinking of getting your period? Four, three, I don't know how many fucking weeks that is. It confuses the shit out of me. He says, I really feel like I'm going to get my period. And then he's like, don't worry. The big lad snuck an old fucking pregnancy test in the pisser there. And then you pissed on it and didn't flush.
Manky bitch.
And then I took it and hid it. And then I went in and joked around in front of the kids. And then he ran back in, grabbed the pissy fucking piss test. Comes back out and goes, hey, I already did a... did a pregnancy test. And she's like, fuck off. And then so she's pregnant now.
Are you serious? Are you 100%?
And then here comes the problem with oversharing. Not a lot of weeks later, she had a fucking miscarriage. Sought forgiveness for his mistake, but insisted it was part of his past to maintain he never cheated on his wife. Alright, this is a different thing about him being on Ashley Madison. But the YouTube star who surprised his wife and knew she was pregnant then revealed the couple had lost their baby has admitted to using Ashley Madison website. So there you go. That's what happens when you fucking... You're not even supposed to tell people you're pregnant until like fucking... What is it like? About 3 months later? You don't just get what... You just don't... fucking walk out in the living room with it trailing down your leg going, guys, pregnant! Start buying fucking baby clothes and shit. Wise up. I don't know what the deal is with this Ashley Madison thing. Are they trying to, you know, I don't even understand, like, are people like, were they trying to fucking, did they release all the names and stuff like that? Is that what the deal was? Who gives a shit? Surely if you were on it, you'd be like, right, I'm just going to go and take my fucking name off it here. But weird. It seems weird that you'd be like, yeah, our business is basically, we facilitate if you want to have an affair. Make it a bit easier for you, as if it's not easy enough on fucking Facebook and shit. Tinder. Grindr. Maybe you're married and you're a dude who likes the odd meat injection. I just clicked on a link, something to do with your girl Emily Ratajkowski or whatever. I'd rattle your fucking jayskis. Disgusting. Right, let's move on to some questions here, guys, because it's been a weird fucking week. I haven't really been able to talk about anything of any interest, because basically, there's good and bad weeks when you do podcasts, isn't there? Good and bad weeks. Let's listen to this video with Donald Trump.
People are thinking, but the thing, and I do very well at it, military. I am the toughest guy. I will rebuild our military. It will be so strong and so powerful and so great. It will be so powerful and so great that we'll never have to use it. Nobody's going to mess with us, folks. Nobody. Nobody.
America! There's no difference in that than a fucking one of those North Korean videos. You know, where they just say, our nation is the greatest. Yeah! Fucking dunce Americans. From Trump, who about fucking 10 minutes ago was going, we gotta keep the goddamn immigrants out of the fucking da-da-da. Who do you think's going to be in your fucking mega army that's going to, no one's going to fuck with? You know, all you have to do is watch fucking Jarhead or something and everyone's called like Gonzalez, fucking Hernandez and all this shit. It is fucking all immigrants. Well, not immigrants, but you know. In fact, everyone's going crazy. Everyone loves that shit. America! We're the best place in the world. And you feel like going, none of you are from here if you go back far enough. You know what I'm saying? Trump should be talking and a load of fucking Native Americans should be going, yeah, we're the best. Let's scalp some fucking Syrians. What a dickhead. But again, it's just proof that, you know, does the American president really mean anything? Obama giving off, I'm going to do this and some other stuff and it's going to be great. Gets in, apologies, I'm going to do nothing. Did nothing. Sorry about that. Went grey and pretended to be white. Anyway, what do I know about politics? Nothing. I've read Fantastic Mr. Fox and one other book. Let's hit these questions, guys. No doubt they're great. Let me see if there's any Twitter action here. Oh God, do I need a piss? Loads? Lads. Relax. Would you put Robert Mooney? This will be good. Here's one. If you had a choice, would you A, put your feet in a bucket of Mickey Bartlett's shite for 5 minutes? B, lick the hatchet wound of Camilla Parker Bowles for 3 minutes? Random as fuck, but better than fuck all, right? I'd rather just put my feet in shite than lick a strange woman's vagina. Mark Wilson, what's the most ridiculous, extravagant thing you've ever purchased for yourself? #balling. I have a terrible problem with pulling the trigger on buying stuff for myself. I'll buy shit for anyone. I'll be like, yep, don't worry about it. I would almost need to tell, like, girlfriend Maureen to be like, listen, I want this thing, but I'm going to leave my card here. And I want you to physically buy it when I'm not looking. And then just go, ta-da, look. And I'm I'll be like, yeah, no worries. Let's go and fucking, let's go out on an absolute rager. And I'm fucking spending money like I'm Jay-Z. And then when it comes to something else, you're like, I don't want to buy that. Well, shit, it's like 110 quid. You're like, well, you spent that on fucking kebabs yesterday. So I don't know what your problem is, you fucking lunatic. But at the end of the day, I'm not a very complicated man, so extravagant stuff, I don't know, what the fuck? Nothing really. I'm a man of fairly cheap fucking interests. Nothing. I don't even know what to tell you. You know, I've bought various bits of gear. But I'm trying to think if I ever just dumped a massive load of cash in one go. I don't know. Can't remember. That was interesting, wasn't it? Kyle Lamb, have you ever told the aristocrats joke? I think I've only ever heard it from American comedians. No, I haven't. Although I've seen the documentary. If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, watch the documentary, The Aristocrats. There was an old joke, and it was kind of like a comedian type fucking joke. Because at the end of the day, it's not a joke. And I think it goes back to a time when the word aristocrat actually meant something. And the idea of the joke is basically like a family going to a talent agent and they're like, we're a new act, blah, blah. And the agent's like, well, what do you do? And they basically act out what it is, the act that they do. And the idea of the joke is that it has to be the most fucking disgusting, incestuous version of the joke that you can think of. You know, the dad starts shitting in the child's mouth and he vomits in the ma's asshole and all this shit. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's fully disgusting. And then the agent goes, that was great, what do you call yourselves? And then they go, the aristocrats. And it doesn't sound great now, but you need to hear it from like I'll play it at the end here. I'll play like Doug Stanhope's version of it. But there is a full documentary on it, and it's quite interesting. Doug Stanhope, Aristocrats. And they, you know, they get to the end and say, oh shit, hold on. Yeah, you get to the end, and it's, the joke is that it's totally not worth it. But the funniness comes from people just sort of exaggerating.
One more joke and then we're going.
The idea is to just make it more and more and more ridiculous. I'll play it at the end, sure, but it's fucking grim. Have you seen a Serbian film? If not, it's on YouTube. You gotta watch that shit. He rapes a dead baby. Smiley face. Good lad. Well, is it actually called a Serbian movie? What do you say there? A Serbia? What the fuck did I just read? A Serbian film. Oh, it is actually called a Serbian film. 2010 million views. What is it? It scares me a bit here. He rapes a dead baby. Got loads of dislikes. How's this allowed on YouTube? What the fuck? Seriously, can someone explain that to me? Ended up being a great movie. I'm fucking intrigued now. What's going on? Is it like super rough? How's that loud on YouTube if it's like super rough? What's going on here? What's going on? Slapped. Guy getting slapped. Is there tits in it? Oh wait. He's grabbed her by the head. Pulls her tit out. This is YouTube! Grips her ass out. Fucking her in the ass. Oh dear. Oh dear. Is this on YouTube? It's a bit of a rape going on here. She's not enjoying it. As you would imagine. Now, either that was terribly bad luck that I just clicked on the one rape, or this thing is so full of rapes that... Oh, he's watching more fucking porn. Great. Someone rub it. What's going on here? Girl fingering herself. This is a what the fuck is happening here? What the fuck is going on? Let's click another moment here, see what else happens. Jesus fucking Christ. What's going on? I am intrigued now. I'm going to have to watch this. It's one of these arty films where it's like, guys, nothing really happens, but we're just going to make it as brutal. Oh. Oh. What's going on here? Guy's got him in like a rear naked choke, and then this girl's like, wait. What's going on? What the? Right. Is this guy going to jizz in her head here? Even though another guy's got him in a rear naked choke. Oh, come on the... Come. What the fuck? It's weird though. It's weird how you can show like a full rape, but you can't show a dick. An erect dick. Isn't it? Shame that. Oh, there's a dead girl. There's a guy with his dick out. He's got a full piece on him. Fair play. Right, there's no point in me sort of commentating this whole movie. What's this? More rapes? Anyway, if you're feeling fucked up and you would definitely want to get sacked from your job, I would watch that at work. Here he is with a gun. I don't know. I'm so confused. Anyway, there you go. Watch that in public and go straight to jail. What an absolute rape central that was. Sorry, I got so sidetracked there. A Serbian movie. Cheers, Dylan McCrudden. It's my fucking Saturday night sorted. If you were burgled, what would you miss the most? For your information, I was burgled 10 days after moving into a new apartment. Oh, mate, Stuart. Sorry to hear that. What would I miss? Again, for the same reason, the what's the most extravagant thing you've bought question. I wouldn't miss it. There's certain things would be a massive inconvenience for me to lose. Like, mainly, like, if I lost my computer, a camera, and the sound recorder, I'd be like, fuck! But I could get another one anywhere, at any stage. So there wouldn't be much things that I would really miss, as long as no one fucking died. It would be grand. Stickle bricks or leg trainers, I'd probably be like, fucking bastard, there was, like, loads of trainers up there. Fuck! Stuff like that would crack me up. Andrew Stump, great name. Do you ever flush the toilet before you finish pissing to race to see who finishes first? Not with the amount of hydration the big man puts away. You don't know what's piss and clean water. Do you know about a yellow Lucozade piss? Baraka luminous piss? Maybe, but... nah. Fine dining international cuisine in the city restaurant or a queer feed in a culture eating house with none of that foreign muck? That's from Chris Banger. What would I prefer? Both. I like both. Depends what mood you're in. You know, like, sometimes you're hungover and you're like, just give me as many fucking spuds and bits of meat as you can shove in my face. Or other times you're like, let's eat something weird. You know, let's go spicy on it, up in this bitch. Right, let me get these Facebook questions. That's an hour. Is that about an hour and 10 minutes I've done? Let's answer these questions like a man who needs a piss real bad. Just laughed at a photo on my Facebook there. First day we met up with Mickey in Edinburgh, he was walking down the street wearing a Godzilla Films t-shirt. Fair play. Available at colingettis.com. Might actually make myself a new fucking website just for the pure crack of it. Look at that General Banter fucking poster. Go see that, guys. 16 comments. What is wrong with you fucking people? Where's the podcast? That's probably what it says. Let's go for it. Matthew Foster, what's your best your ma jokes? I'm sure you were legendary at these at school. My son is 11 and is only realising the potential of your mom's jokes. I don't know. I don't know any. I once said a guy in a crowd. He said something about me being bald, and I said, "No, it's not even just regular baldness." I was like, "It's actually like a receding hairline because of the friction caused when your ma shuts her thighs on my head." Take that, drunk man at the fucking Empire. No one. It was almost a bit too harsh that no one laughed. I was like, "Oh, this is why I can't gig here." Nathan Conthalia, standard cornflakes or crunchy nut for it? Who the fuck? Definitely crunchy nut every time. Are you mental? Fucking lunatic. Who's gonna go, oh, throw those crunchy nuts in the bin? I just like the bland boringness of this shit over here. Ian Oatsy? The fuck? Oh yeah, does Bestie McD like the D or does he just talk like a Cecil? What perfume do you buy the missus? What do you be slurping while doing the podcast? Ronda Rousey, would you? What's this fucking 20 questions? Does Bestie McD like the D? No, he likes sweet puss. What perfume do you buy the missus? None. Did it buy? No. Nah, fuck that. She buys her own. What am I going to do, go around smelling shit? buy the wrong stuff. You know what I mean? You don't want to be like, oh, here's fucking Chanel number, whatever. It's just like, I actually wear Chanel other number. And you're like, oh, we'll just fuck it in the bin. Sure, it's only £90 for a bottle of smell. I can't do it. I can't even wear aftershave. I sprayed some shit in the airport the other day, and it was like all day. I was like, is there? I felt like it was someone that was wearing a lot of perfume or aftershave. It's perfume. Fuck it. It's perfume for men. When was the last time someone used aftershave as aftershave? Never, because it hurts like fuck. You got some fucking Nivea. My wee face burns. Ow. You can't do the fucking Home Alone, like, slapping your cheeks and you're like, ah, fuck! Walk around all day, just your face all tight, like you're in Mad Men. Oh, my face is all tight from shaving. And then I put aftershave on, now I'm just drinking fucking whiskey at lunchtime before I sexually assault the fucking receptionist. What do you be slurping while doing the podcast? Coffee, usually. Ronda Rousey, would you? Yeah, fucking right. What a lucky girl. Fucking right. I'd bone you, Ronda Rousey. What's up, Ronda? Do you want a fucking big fat man on top of you? Huh? Armbar my dick.
Gavin Campbell, would you rather pee every time you stood up or poo every time you sat down? I think I nearly do poo every time I sit down. Definitely the piss one. You don't want to be like sitting around in your own shit. Stuart Jones, if you were going to be a cartoon character, who would it be? Fucking, I don't know, Archer, bucking everybody. Owen McElroy. Any chance of doing a General Banter podcast in Derry in the near future? Maybe. Oh, don't fucking do that. Maybe. If anyone was going to go to it, I would maybe do it. But I would say the chances of me just doing a regular gig by myself might be more of a possibility. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll not lie to you, there isn't a big market for many comedy opportunities in Derry. There is Mason's Comedy Club, which, although is one of the best places to do comedy, is the only place to do comedy in Derry. So, we could maybe. I don't know, Mason's might be a good place to do it, but then I'd have to go through the people who run that. Tristan Rogers, is it going to be echoey? Probably. But I apologise for that. Hopefully it's not as bad as it usually is. Would you ever do a scrap chat or a Barry the Blender video with or about Buzz McConnell? Also, fuck Nolan. Buzz McDonald. I would if I fucking knew him or whatever. Like, what I'm going to do, go to wherever the fuck he lives and record a video with him for Facebook. Don't think so. Also, you know, I could almost pick up some of the videos and line them up beside videos that I made about 4 years ago, and somehow the lines seem to be awful similar. Am I right, guys? Pierce Madden? How do you say that? What's an appropriate age to own a BMX? 29 in brackets. I think it's fine. You have to be good on it, though. I love BMXs, by the way. I had loads of them when I was a kid. Used to fucking take them apart, spray paint them, put them back together. In fact, I remember getting, like, there was, like, a, like, Diamondback did, like, almost like a pro line. They were probably shite in general, but, like, you could get, like, there was, like, Diamondback. Was quite a sort of popular bike make, but then they had a series of them that were like actually quite fucking good, and I had one and my dad got me it, and the next fucking
Yeah, there was ones that were always about 150 quid or something, but then they did a range that were like a bit dear, about 300 something quid, I don't know. But I remember getting it and fucking about 2 weeks after having it, taking it apart and painting it. And my dad was like, "Are you fucking retarded?" I was like, "What? That's a good, that's a nice army green there. It looks great. Makes it look urban." And then I got murdered. But I love it. I'm a big fan of BMXs. Probably the best way to get around a city. And if you can just fucking grind down some fucking ledges, it looks even better. Even looking at them now, I'm like, I would totally get a fucking BMX. Look at this one. Diamondback Skin Dog. It's like red with white wheels. That might be a different type of bike, is it? A wee tiny sprocket on it? Not sure. Probably a kid's bike. Who gives a fuck? I'm going to get a price on one of these. I'm looking at that going, I'd seriously love the fuck about it. I'm too fat. I'm too heavy. You can't get on one and like just go down a curb and it snaps in half. The one I was looking at is 280 quid. Anyway, don't worry about it, mate. If you enjoy it, it's fine. Because at the end of the day, you can just, you know, if someone's like, look at this guy on a BMX, you're like, mate, I'm going to work. It's the quickest way to get through town. However, if you're on, like, fucking rollerblades, people are like, mate, what are you doing? You going to a fucking roller disco? Asshole. Same as skateboarding. Don't be older than 22 and be shite on a skateboard, mate. If you're floating about on a skateboard and you're 30, you better be good, or else you look like a dickhead. Where are we here? Fuck me, there's so many questions. Ian Oatsy, found your drunken doppelganger. Alright, just some other bald cunt. Good one. Alright, let's get through this. An hour and 10 minutes. Jesus Christ, is this a long one? What is it like to gig up on the North Coast, Port Rush? And any sign of you coming back for a night? Let me tell you something, Alan. I've had a lot of experience gigging up there. I remember one of the first sort of Iron Fighter previews we did before I even did stand-up was, it was a Portrush Playhouse and it was packed, and then we got a bit of a relationship with the guy that was like the manager up there, Gary, who's since moved on, but gigged there loads of times. With up in the winter, there was fucking no one turned up. Of course they didn't, because there's no one in Portrush in the fucking winter, and even the students aren't even in Portrush, they're in fucking Port Stewart or whatever. And then just didn't do it for a good few years, and then went up. It was me, Mickey, Sean Haggerty, went up and did a gig. The place was fucking packed in the Retro, or what's it called? The Atlantic Lounge or something. Did a gig in there. It was great. Decided, right, I'm going to book another solo show of my own. Went up and did that. And it was just fucking terrible. There was enough people there, but I don't know what the crack was. It was just like, couldn't get anything going. Crowd seemed... And I was probably not very funny either, but I was doing the same shit that I'd been doing everywhere else that seemed to be doing pretty well. And then all of a sudden, did it here, and it was just fucking... I was like, sorry guys. Don't know what to tell you, but... And that's the sort of thing puts you off going back for a while. You know? Same with like Armagh Marketplace. Did a couple of gigs a few years in a row. Great stuff, all good. Booked the third year, went. Full nightmare. Couldn't believe how much of a nightmare it was. But anyway. Some serious questions from Helen Levy. What's your favourite flavour of super noodles? I don't like them. I do not like super noodles. Because I don't know how they make them, but they just turn into fucking jelly. You know, it's not like a regular... You know, it's not like a regular fucking noodle where it just holds its consistency. If you cooked super noodles long enough, it would just turn into like porridge. And I tell you something, here's the fat man coming out in me. Blue Dragon used to do like spicy noodles, and I lived on them when I was a student, and they were the fucking dog's tits. And they stopped making them because you could buy them for about 30p and they were delicious. I'd rather buy plain fucking noodles, cook them, and put like soy sauce and fucking sriracha on them, you know?
so much salt in my tongue just dries up the fucking... Oh. Fuck super noodles. How about that? I'd rather have a pot noodle than a super noodle. Final question from Ben Kirkwood, keeping it real. Thoughts on Noel Fielding? Full scale fucking just hatred. Do I hate him? I think I do. He's the fucking... He's one of those, like... The only reason he has fans is because he dresses weird and girls are like, isn't he cool? I'd like him to buck me because, you know, he's got nice hair and glittery shirts. And then he stands up there going, ooh, I'm a little otter. And you're like, fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Everyone knows the other guy was the funnier one in fucking Mighty Boosh. And you just stand there going, ooh, I'm fucking, shut up. Go and watch Noel Fielding stand up and you'll just want to hammer your dick with a fucking mallet. Oh, terrible, terrible stuff. Oh, it's just bad. And that, oh, it's dirt. And there's something about, like, there's bits of, like, Mighty Boosh that I think are funny. But then there's also an element of me thinking, do you know what? If I thought of the wackiest shit that I could think of, the most surreal fucking weird stuff, and I had the budget to pull it off on film, it would be as funny as Mighty Boosh, because that's all it is. It's just like, can you imagine if there was a fox that lived in an... I'm picking out the funniest thing I remember. You know? The fucking crack fox thing, that was funny. But the rest of it's just like, mate, what the fuck is going on here? You got a load of fucking nerds going, it's the best shit ever. Cheese is a kind of meat. Not a fan. Not a fan of him. And if you want to see something funny... I was talking about Tony Law earlier. Go on and watch the episode of Nevermind the Buzzcocks when Tony Law was on it. And what you're witnessing there is Noel Fielding, a sort of can't be real funny, so I think I'll be surreal funny and I'll dress weird and everyone thinks I'm quirky and oh, I'm mad and I'm the wacky one. Until you are hit with the fucking whirlwind of mental that is Tony Law, and all of a sudden you see Noel Fielding kind of take the back seat because he's going, oh, I'm actually not that crazy. I just pretend that I'm wacky, and in fact I'm witnessing fucking someone like Tony Law, who is 100% a fucking maniac, against Noel Fielding, he's just like, yeah, I just want to be in the front of fucking NME. Anyway, I'm going to go before I piss all over my brand new fake leather cream office chair from fucking Argos up in this bitch. Check out colingettis.com if you want to buy a fucking t-shirt. I'm going to have a new podcast t-shirt up and running as soon as I possibly fucking can. Also, 28th of August in the Errigal in Belfast, if you want to see Colm Murphy, me and Paddy McGackie and Neil Dugan doing a stand-up show, get a ticket for that. Not very often Colm Murphy gigs in Belfast. You can see that for a tenner. And then the next week for £6 in Lavery's Comedy Club, we have the second ever General Banter podcast. Okay? Which hopefully will be great. The last one was great. Let's pack it out. Let's get fucking rowdy. Let's get pished. Say some bad words. I'm going to go. Hopefully it wasn't too echoey. I know it's boring as shit. Most of it was me spent watching a fucking... some fucking dude get raped. So I'll play a bit of this fucking Doug Stanhope joke here. If you want to turn off, you can. I might play the whole thing. I might not. But let's see. I'll cut off at a good line. Here we go. Got it?
Because your daddy has shit to do before last call. Guy walks into a talent.
By the way, what makes this even funnier is he's sitting beside a little baby as he tells his story. Here we go.
And he says, I got an act for you. And he says, okay, tell me what it is. My wife's dressed up like Charlie Chaplin, and she looks completely like a dude. And she walks up to me, I'm sitting on a park bench, and I start to perform horrible analingus on her. And then she exposes her breasts. The crowd goes crazy. We drop her pants completely down. They see my wife has a penis, because she used to be a man. It's kind of a horrible, hormone-shrunken penis, but a penis nonetheless. So I reach around and I start tugging on it, see? Tugging on a little uncut penis, and every time I pull it, a blort of wet, acrid shit shoots out across my face. We have it timed perfectly. Now, we bring my daughter up. My daughter is in a wheelchair, and I'm not talking just a little bit handicapped. She's a full-on, low-watt gurgler in a high-back chair. Spina bifida, are you eating during this?
The baby's eating.
Disgusting. Come here. Joke's not over yet. Okay, so my daughter comes out in a high back chair and she's gurgling and we have her sing I'm a Little Teapot, which is fucking hilarious because she can't even enunciate words, much less show where the handle and the spout are. So I dump her out of her chair face first, lay her down, she's naked and just pasties like a Christmas ham, and then we feed off the audience's rage and we invite the audience members to come up on the stage and whack the girl in her legs. It's much like the stage fair where you take an old Chrysler and let everyone have a whack for a dollar, and the audience is reticent at first. So to show the audience that it's okay, I stick my cock in her ass. It's like a shillelagh. It's all knotted with boils and fibrous tumors. I'll show you a little bit later. And I push it into her unwilling anus till it's finally just a whole prolapsed rectum. It looks like an ulcerated sea snake. Remember when I took you to SeaWorld? You should see her vagina. She's only 13 years old, but she's a pro. She's been doing this act so long, her vagina looks like a calloused dock worker's heel. It's hairless. It looks like dry rot with a hole in it. It's just foul. And they'll punch fuck her, and they'll get into it, because we like the audience to feel like they're part of the show. Now the boy comes out, morbidly obese. Not his fault, not even genetic. We force feed him. So the boy comes out and it's like rolling water. It's just like spilling like a garbage bag full of Jell-O. And that's where I perform the Voltaire's Angry Glove. What I do is I take a latex sleeve that goes up to my shoulder. It's usually just used to inseminate pigs. And I roll it in Elmer's glue and rock salt with a little broken glass. And the boy assumes the position
What I'm going to do here, guys, is I'm going to cut that short because I'm not going to stand and hold this recorder over the fucking speaker of the thing. You want to watch it yourself. Doug Stanhope, the Aristocrats joke. I may do it myself someday, purely for the crack. I've talked about it before, but we'll see. We'll see. I might video it. Anyway, take care of yourselves, guys. Will I do a podcast on Tuesday? I might. What I'm going to talk about? Don't know. Did most of my talking this week. So apologies for being late. I hope it's not too echoey. And I'll fucking might see you Tuesday then. Might have to get someone on this fucking thing. Because I honestly don't know what the fuck I'm going to talk about on Tuesday. You know? I'll milk Kylie Jenner's tits dry. Anyway. Speak to you soon. Take care now. All the best. Bye.